Morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Jen. Please grab a Bible if you've already put it down, and please turn to page 1149. We are going to continue in our series in the book of James. We're going to look at chapter 3 today, not the whole chapter, but a bit of it. So page 1149.
Blimey, can you say.
Everyone got it? Who wants it? Yeah? Okay, let me ask you this question. Who do you think of as being wise? If I said to you, who's a wise person? Who would spring to your mind? I'll throw some answers out.
Solomon,
yep, guy in the Bible. Anyone else?
Grandmas and grandpas.
Yep, grandmas and grandpas. Yep, anyone else? Ryan. Which one? We've got two now. So anyone with the name Ryan is wise, yeah? Okay, for me it might be someone who you know who to turn to because they know what to do in a crisis. You know those kind of people that always got the right answer. Or for me, my nan, I would say, was quite a wise woman. She would often say, you know if you like banged your leg or your arm or something, and you've got, you know you had the bruise like under the surface before the bruise come out. She said, if you put butter on where you bang your arm or your leg, it brings out the bruise quicker. Some people thought she was wise. You need to answer that one. Some people might think characters like Yoda, so people who have got philosophical statements, say things like, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. It's quite wise, isn't it? So it might be Yoda. So we are continuing in our series in James. So James, Jesus' brother, is writing to a group of believers, encouraging them to show that they follow Jesus and they've had their lives transformed by the way that they live. And so he said previously, up until this point, show it in the way you care for other people, show it in the way that you speak, and now show it through wisdom. And so James, in right at the start of his letter, in chapter 1, verse 21, he's previously said that believers, followers of Jesus, receive Jesus, the word of truth, who's the ultimate source of wisdom. And there he goes on now to talk about wisdom. I'm just going to read it. So it's chapter 3, and verses 13, the little number 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. By deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So James kicks off in verse 13. He says, who's wise and who's understanding among you? Now that word for understanding is like someone who's an expert. So he's saying to people reading the letters, who's wise and who's understanding? Now he's not asking for people to put their hands up. Rarely you get a fool putting their hand up and answering this kind of question. But he says, who is wise amongst you? Because James now is moving from wisdom being about knowledge and something cerebral, something up in the head, to being about action. And so we're invited to a way of life that is centered around Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, and he's starting to say that true wisdom is how we live. It's not just about what we know. And so he's saying it's no good to be an expert if your life don't show it. Now, you know, in this room there's probably plenty of wise experts in their fields, no doubt. But if you look in the world around us, there's wise experts everywhere. So, is he a sir? Is it Sir David Attenborough? Yeah. So he's an expert on animals and like ice, things and the planet and oceans and stuff. So he knows a bit about that, quite an expert on that. Jay-Z. I really appreciate that. I'd quite like to know who knows all of these people at the end of it or not. But Jay-Z, an expert in music and the business realm, especially in the States. This guy, anyone know who that is?
Dragon's Den.
So Stephen Bartlett, he's an entrepreneur. He's in the Dragon's Den. He's got a podcast called The Diary of the CEO, which is actually quite interesting. You know, that's the kind of thing. He's a wise expert. This guy. Just in case, I put him there because I was thinking, I wonder if people miss seeing him on the screen. Chris Whitty, who knows a bit about COVID and the way it moves through the population. James calls for the slide. Paul said, you say next slide, please. James calls for the wise in verse 13 to show it by their good lives. See, it's a test like no other. It's not enough to be an expert in your chosen field or to know loads of stuff. Look at their lives. Show it by your good life. And so for James, the good life here isn't about a nice home, isn't about a nice car, it's not about the latest pair of trainers, it's not about having loads of money, it's not about being popular. He says instead, his wisdom outworks for all to see. And so James goes on to talk about two different types of wisdom. He mentions one, which we'll come on to in a minute, which is heavenly wisdom. He doesn't actually say earthly wisdom, but I'm calling it that because I think he's contrasting the two, if that makes sense. And so he goes on. James shows the characteristics of earthly wisdom. Look at verse 14. Bitter envy. Characteristic of earthly wisdom. So the desire to have somebody else's gifts or life, or character, or possessions for yourself. What he looks like is wanting somebody else's achievements at school and at college for yourself. Desiring a colleague's promotion that they've just had for yourself. It's wanting another's ability when they're at home in social situations for yourself. It's longing for your kids to behave as good as your friend's kids. It's being envious that your marriage isn't as good as them over there. What else? Verse 14. Earthly wisdom is selfish ambition. So placing ourselves above others, desiring to get my own way. Earthly wisdom says life is about me. It's about my preferences. It's about my comfort. And it's about my happiness. It puts myself above you, and it puts my interests before yours. Now, maybe this morning you're thinking that kind of divisive and self-absorbed behaviour isn't me. Well, not me, but like maybe you're thinking that for yourself. But you know, the Pharisees, so the religious teachers in Jesus' day, they used knowledge and religious activity all the time to big themselves up over other people, to elevate themselves over other people. Jesus' disciples themselves, they were arguing about who was the greatest amongst them. See, followers of Jesus, they ain't immune to this kind of behaviour. And what is the result of earthly wisdom, of this kind of bitter envy and selfish ambition? Look at verse 16. Disorder and every evil practice. Every evil practice. That's a whole bunch of trouble. And so secrets, backbiting, broken relationships, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment, an absence of love, an absence of trust and of peace. Every evil practice is the result of earthly wisdom. And look, our lives and our relationships and our church and our society becomes messier as a result of this way of living. This is the reason why the world is in such chaos, isn't it? Look at Westminster. I mean, you've only got to turn on the news and see what's been going on down in Downing Street and stuff, to see there's a whole bunch of people full of wisdom and experts, but it's earthly wisdom. It's full of disorder and chaos. James says that the origin of this kind of wisdom, verse 15, is earthly. So it's about me and my thoughts and my interests. It's unspiritual. It's not about God and God's way. And look, and it's demonic. You are right from the pit of hell. And you know what? James is right about this, because this way of living is toxic and it's out of place for God's people. And James says, verse 14, don't boast about this or deny the truth, because there's a danger when this kind of behaviour is at work that the good news of Jesus gets lost in the midst of us focusing on ourselves. Now, I mean, I personally love James because he gives it a bit of welling there. He don't like being around the bush, he just cuts to the heart of it. But I know for some people it can sound that he's a little bit harsh, isn't he? You don't like package it up all nicely. But look, actually, if you read through the letter, or even just glance through, maybe late on today or something, you'll see time and time again the tone of this letter that James is writing is like that of someone writing to a member of the family. So I counted just briefly in scanning over my version 12 times at least where James says, brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, he's talking like a loving older brother with his arm on our shoulders saying, hey, come on, I want the best for you. He's not a teacher kind of shouting and saying, do this and do that, but he's saying, if you've been born again, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've got the wisdom of God in your heart, the outworking of it actually matters. And so James goes on to contrast earthly wisdom with heaven's wisdom. Now, it's not a standard philosophical type of wisdom, like Yoga's kind of lovely little lines that are beautiful. That kind of wisdom doesn't transform us. God's unique wisdom found in Jesus does. And so James goes on, look at verse 13. It says, the characteristics of wisdom are deeds done in humility. Deeds done where I know my life and all about me. Verse 17, a whole list. The characteristics of heaven's wisdom are pure, not contaminated, opposite to every single kind of evil. Heaven's wisdom is peace-loving. It's not picking fights. It's not reveling in conflict. It's not gaslighting somebody else. It's considerate. It's gentle. It's submissive. It places others over myself. It's not stubborn, and it yields whenever possible. What else? It's full of mercy and good fruit. It don't judge others because we're aware of our own faults and our own failures and our own helplessness and our own need for Jesus. It's impartial. It listens. It's open to reason. And heaven's wisdom is sincere. No pretense, no hypocrisy, no being two-faced, one thing to one person over here and another thing to another person over here. Heaven's wisdom, does that describe you this morning? Now, it might describe me on a good day after I've had an 8 hours sleep, a cup of tea, and I'm not going to see anyone for the whole day. But does it describe us day in, day out? James says, verse 18, the results of these characteristics of heaven's wisdom are righteousness sown in peace. Such a contrast to verse 16 and the disorder and evil practice of every kind. James points out in verse 18 that we're producing the righteous life that God asks for us when we live like this. And where's the origin of heaven's wisdom? Where does heaven's wisdom come from? It's not difficult. Verse 17. It comes from God. It comes from heaven. Now, this doesn't mean that it will stop us from struggling. Heaven's wisdom won't do that. But it will change the way we respond to our difficulties. Heaven's wisdom won't keep us from having disagreements with one another, but it will show us a better way of dealing with them. Now, as is always the case, like whenever I speak, like I'm just so challenged by the passage myself in my own life, you know, which that's a good thing. And I was reading these verses a couple of weeks ago, and I was in that kind of situation where I was arguing with someone and they're getting on my nerves. And the thing is about me, like in my heart, if you do me wrong, I want you to get justice for the wrong you've done to me. I'm not really a merciful person in my flesh, okay? And actually, I really felt God saying, Jen, look at these verses that you're preparing to speak on Sunday. Considerate, peace-loving, full of mercy. Man, oh man. I was like, God, you need to come and do something within me so I live this out. I live this kind of wisdom out in my agonies and in a difficult situation that I find myself in. So earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Now, for those of you who don't know, I've got a son called Nate, who's not here this morning, and I've got a husband called Paul, who is here. If you see them together, it kind of divides the room a little bit. Some people say they don't look anything like each other. Other people say that my son is a dead ringer for my husband. So here's a picture. So this is my husband, not currently, obviously, many, many, many years ago, on the left. This is my son, Nate, on the right. What do you think? Do you think any resemblance, or are you not buying?
Yes.
A few nods. They've got the same bum and chin, same blue eyes, same like hairy eyebrows, a lot of hair going on there. Family resemblance. I think they look, sometimes they look like, I'm not completely convinced. However, I found this one. Look at that. So this is Demi Moore, you know, the actress. That's her daughter, Ruma. They look alike, don't they? I mean, that is quite freaky, I reckon. It looks like a mirror image of each other. So family resemblance. I want you to look again at verses 13, 17 and 18. The characteristics of heaven's wisdom. Because the thing is, from that list, you could be describing Jesus' character. Jesus who taught wisdom, who lived wisdom, who was called in 1 Corinthians 1:30, the very wisdom of God. Look at it. Jesus was pure. Completely and utterly without sin. He was peace-loving, offering himself to make peace between us and God. He was considerate. You know, time and time again, people going up to him, asking for healing, like, if you're willing, Lord. And he's like, I'm willing, and I'm going to do it. Submissive. Jesus, who left the joys and perfection of heaven to come to our completely messed up earth. Jesus was full of mercy, not giving us what we deserve, but giving us what we don't deserve. He displayed good fruit time and time and time again. When he was accused, when he was beaten, when he was mocked, when he was ridiculed, when he was crucified. Jesus was impartial. Time and time again, the people that he met with weren't people who you think he would associate with, tax collectors, women, Samaritans. Could you say that Jesus was sincere, like from his life? Yeah, I think he could. And so as we center our lives more and more on Jesus, living out heavenly wisdom, we are showing a family resemblance. We look more like Jesus in the way that we act. And so what about you this morning? Do you display the family likeness? The people look at you and the people look at me and see something of Jesus in the way that we live our lives. You know, this morning, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, like you're so welcome to be amongst us this morning. Maybe this is your first time, maybe you've been knocking about for a while, maybe you've been in a Bible studies through the week. And maybe you'd say, I'm not part of God's family, but you know what? I would love to be living that good life that we're talking about, Jim. Maybe you're tired of the consequences of living out a life based on earthly wisdom. Let me tell you, God offers hope this morning. See, our natural condition is a selfish, diseased heart wanting to be our own kings and our own queens, and the Bible calls that sin. And Jesus died to deal with the consequence of that sin. And so we can repent, which means turn around from the way of life we were living to a different way, towards God. And we can believe and we can trust in Jesus and what he said he did when he died and when he rose again. So that we can be forgiven and free and restored. And the Bible says that when we trust in Jesus, when we do that, we're made a new creation. A new heart is put within us and we're born again. And it's only that heart that can live out heaven's wisdom. So maybe that's you this morning. Now the truth is, God really ain't concerned how clever you are. That might be a newsflash to some people. Now I know there's some people here that are freakishly clever. I'm not looking at anyone. God don't care how clever you are. He don't care if you're as thick as two short planks. He don't care. He don't care about your level of education. He don't care how many letters you've got behind your name. He doesn't care how many Bible stories you know. He cares whether your deeds come from a place of earthly or heavenly wisdom. So look at your life and your character and your attitude. Not just here on a Sunday morning, but at church, at school, at home, at work. What kind of wisdom is your life full of? Are you a pure and peace-filled, gentle person? Are you known for not being stubborn? Are you a parent full of mercy? Are you known as being someone who's unhypocritical? Maybe before you answer that, ask your spouse or a close friend. But you know, if that is you, then good for you. Keep on going. Keep on doing that this morning. This week as you go about your business. But maybe our lives are a little bit more like living out of earthly wisdom. Are you bitterly envious towards anyone? Do you seek your own wants and your own comforts over that of your colleagues, your friends, your spouse, your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is there evil creeping into my life that doesn't belong there? Is there evil creeping into your life that doesn't belong there? We need to get rid of it, friends. See, James goes back to the heart. It's kind of like a constant theme throughout his letter. And he says in verse 14 that bitter envy and selfish ambition in the heart, if it's stored and harbored in the heart. So bitter envy comes from a heart that's full of bitter envy. And selfish ambition comes from a heart that is full of selfish ambition. And so if we identify that we've got stuff in our hearts, and it manifests the fruit in our lives, not in a good way. Psalm 139 says, we can ask God to search me. God, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, my experience is when I pray this prayer, like with utter sincerity, God challenges, he convicts, he encourages, and he's like, Jen, this is what you need to get rid of. And we ask God to pull out the stuff that doesn't belong there. We say sorry, we repent, we turn away from the stuff that we've been doing that is offensive to him. And we let him come and cleanse, clean us up and heal us. And then we remain connected to Jesus. And we do that by exposing our hearts and our lives to God's word day in, day out. Because it says, Hebrews 4 verse 12, God's word, the Bible, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. See, by reading through this list, I get more of an indication of what's going on in my heart than I did before I read it. And then we pray, God, create in me a clean heart. And we give the Holy Spirit permission to work in our lives, to work in us as we obediently choose to follow Jesus and put his words into practice. A heart connected with Jesus transforms his content and his desires. And as that happens, the wisdom that we manifest looks more and more like wisdom from heaven rather than wisdom from earth. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that when we look at that list of heaven's wisdom, it describes you down to a T. Thank you, Jesus, for living a life of wisdom, for teaching wisdom, for being the very wisdom of God. And yeah, God, for those of us that know you and love you, thank you that we've got that wisdom inside of us. And God, I pray that you help us to live out heaven's wisdom. And God, if there's places in our hearts where, I guess our hearts and our lives are more kind of caught up with earthly wisdom, the wisdom of the world, I just pray that you put your finger on that for us this morning. Change us, God, I pray. Make us more like you. May people look at us and see you, God, because we've got good family resemblance. Yeah, and if there's anyone here this morning, God, who's tired of living with the consequences of an earthly wisdom and an earthly life, I pray that they will come to you this morning in surrender. Thank you that there's hope in Jesus. And so, God, this morning, would you come by the power of your Spirit and do in us and for us the stuff that we can't do for ourselves. In Jesus' name, and so that you would receive like the glory and the praise, God.